Thank you, Lord. We welcome you here. Welcome in this place. Amen. Well, good morning. It's good to see you in person. It's good to be seen by you online. Glad to have you here. Father, we love you so much. You are the God of miracles. Thank you, Lord. My name is Randy, and I'm the lead pastor here, so glad that you're here. Someday we're going to put my name up there so I don't have to say that. Kind of uncomfortable doing that every week, but it's good to know, right, who's stepping up here. You don't know what's happening, but welcome to Lift. We're glad that you're here. Glad that you've come to be in his presence this morning, and his presence has been so sweet, hasn't it? It's been so, so good. We're so grateful to you, God. You never, ever, 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 ever let us down. So we're thankful that you're here. Glad to have our classes up and open this morning. So, Lord, we pray for a little Lift. Pray for the kiddos in there. We thank you, God, that people have come and have chosen to be the hands and feet and hearts of Jesus to them this morning. We pray, Lord God, that you're the same anointing that's in here would flow through them and to them and in them. God, I know you want to reach teachers with these kids, that these kids lay hands on them and watch them be healed and touched and changed and miracles happen. We pray for our elementary class, God. We thank you for teachers and the helpers that are in there, Pastor Carolyn, and also for Erica in the Little Lift. But we just pray, oh God, for the kids who are in such confusion about school and issues that they shouldn't have to face at young ages. But God, you're raising them up and you're bringing them through this along with us with strength, that the joy of the Lord would be their strength this morning. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Well, it's a lot better looking at somebody out here. And we had the worship team last week in here, but they kind of like spread out. So I was like, everybody's afraid to sit right here. I think it's the spit, perhaps. I don't know. But we're glad that you're here. We invite you to come. Join us in person if you can. We wear masks the entire time, and that's a requirement from the city. And so we are complying with that. And so obviously I'm not while I'm right here, but when you're here in the building in the seat, you go to the bathroom, I'm asking you to keep your mask on. And I'm believing that that's going to change, right? Soon, very, very soon. But that's over 5 years old, so six and up. Even our kids are wearing masks. So we welcome you to come. Tonight, we're pressing in to an intimate time called Encounter. And that is not going to be streamed. And the only way to be a part of that is to come in person. So we invite you to come. I hope you do. Hope you do come. But the Lord's going to be here. I know that. He's here right now, and he's going to be here tonight. It's going to be good. So I encourage you to be a part of that. My title today, and I haven't had a title in a while, but my title today is There is Peace. There is Peace. And I want to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. I'm going to start with 14. You know this story, and it is the time of year for it. But verse 14 is when the shepherds are on the hill, in the field, right? The same shepherds who actually took care of the sheep that were going to be sacrificed, okay? Angels appeared, sky opened up, and this is what they heard in verse 14 in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. That's the New American Standard. Your version may have been a little different. You are looking at the Passion Translation today that says, glory to God in the highest realms of heaven, for there is peace and a good hope given to the sons of men. That's a little different. Maybe you're in the NIV. Some people still hanging on. Sometimes the NIV says some things. I like the way that they've drawn it out. It's a little different. The reason why we read the New American Standard Bible so much in here is that it kind of feels like to us that as far as a word-for-word translation, it's a little bit clearer in meaning. I mean, you understand none of this was written in English, right? Right? I mean, and so there's not, you know, our words don't always translate word-for-word. Besides that, there's Greek, there's Aramaic, it's just kind of crazy. Like, they have four different words for if. We have if. So, this is what the NIV says. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on heaven, and on earth. I got caught up, I got ahead of myself. Highest heaven, that's the third heaven, right? That's the third heaven. We're on earth. There is a second heaven where spiritual forces are engaging. It's where our enemy is engaging. But there's a highest heaven where God is. And he's not anywhere near what the enemy is doing. You understand that. He's untouched by that. Glory to God in the highest heaven. It doesn't get any higher than that. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. That's you and I. That's why I say, and they say, how are you? I say, I am blessed and highly favored because of glory to God in the highest heaven, right? And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. There's four prominent sacrifices in the Old Testament that are emphasized in the four Gospels, okay? In Matthew, we see the death of Christ in the figure of the trespass offering. In Mark, it's the sin offering. In Luke, which I just read from today, it's the peace offering. And in John, the burnt offering. The peace God gives us is emphasized in Luke's gospel, okay? Which is why the angels announced peace and hope. And on the day of his resurrection, Jesus said, guess what he said? On the day of his resurrection, when he came to the disciples, guess what he said? Peace to you. It was announced. It happened in the form of a small baby, right? Gosh, if I was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and my Father said, I would like for you to go to earth, what king leaves everything, the glory of God the Father? What king gives it all up to come here? Jesus did. And not only that, but when he came, he didn't just, I would have said, here's a good plan, Lord. Father, how about I just show up and I begin to preach? That'd work, right? No, you got to come as a baby. You've got to be man and God. That's crazy, right? That's a craziness. Think of Mary when the Holy Spirit talked to her and said, by the way, you're with a child. No, I don't think so. Don't believe that's happened. Well, it did, and it shall. And here's what's going to happen. And it happened just like God said. I believe she needed some peace, right? Because you know what they did to young girls? They weren't real kind. They weren't real kind. They didn't give them a show on TV like we do today. I want to talk about peace today. There is peace. Let me give you the definition of peace. You ready? Here's the definition of peace. And by the way, I say to you, peace to you, just as Jesus did on his resurrection. I say peace to you. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care what's happening in the world. I don't care what the latest report is. I don't care what the latest prophecy is. I don't care what the change in job situation or change in the political politics. I say peace to you. There is peace. Here's the definition of peace. Freedom from disturbance, quiet, and tranquility. I'm not sure that's the peace that I'm preaching about today. But it's a good start. It's a good foundation. Let me tell you what peace is not. Maybe that'll help us a little bit. Peace is not a lack of conflict. That's not what peace is. Peace is not just a river of Calgon. Take me away. You remember that commercial? Do they still sell Calgon? Well, give me some Calgon, would you, honey? Because there's a few times where now they have bath bombs. You just throw a big giant thing in there and then have a big ring when you're done. We had that with Calgon anyway, so what difference does that make, right? Have you seen these coffee or hot chocolate bombs? They're the bomb. If you want to gift me one, I'm available for that. Peace is not sipping tea in a flower garden with your finger out. Do you know my family really gets on to me because that's how I do salt and pepper? With my finger out, tap, 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 tap. I don't know where they got their schooling, but obviously they missed out on the etiquette. Someone needs to pinch them. Oh, wait, that's not how that's said. Peace is not dictated or regulated or relegated by external forces. Peace is not a lack of external conflict. Here, listen to this. But rather, it's a lack of internal conflict. Internal conflict. When someone is truly not at peace, then their soul is in conflict with God. Let me say that again. When someone is truly not at peace, their soul is in conflict with God. And that's why Jesus was born. He came to clear the air between man and God. There is peace. Isaiah chapter 9. I'm going to read two verses there. Verses 6 and 7, and I'm reading from the New American Standard. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 says this, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us." Oh, what's this next part? "And the government will rest on his shoulders." When did you trade in your peace because of someone's idea of government? When the Bible says it rests on his shoulders. "And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Bel-Air." No, peace. Prince of Peace. He's not just peace, he's the Prince of Peace. Verse 7, "There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness." We've been praying that for quite some time. The Bible declares in Psalm that the Lord's throne, the foundation of the throne of God, is righteousness and justice. Justice and righteousness. I'm still declaring that for the earth today. And I say, let it begin in this house. Let it go to this city and to this region and this state and to our country and to the nations of the world. Righteousness and justice. To establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. I like how Chris was talking about Joshua. And they were at Jericho, and he looked up and he saw a man. He had a man. It's a man with a sword. And Joshua says to him, "Are you for us? Or are you against us?" That's how they said it back then. Are you for us or are you against us? Then he said he was the Lord of hosts, of angel armies. Before that, he's just a man. And then Joshua says, okay, I'm on your side. All this side picking, all this division that's going on. Do you understand? We serve the Lord of the angel armies. You need some peace? That's the side you got to be on. Internal peace is not will help us keep our sanity. It's that internal peace that keeps our sanity when everything else seems to be falling apart. Eternal peace is what will help us keep our sanity. Anyone fighting for their sanity right now? You know what insanity is? Of course you do. Doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results. You know what's not insane? God, he does the same thing over and over and over again, always expecting his result. My declaration is there is peace. Say that with me. There is peace. We know his name is Jesus. Say, there is peace. We know that he is the wonderful counselor. He is eternal. He is our comforter. He's our peace. He's the Prince of Peace. I want to talk about peace in God. Peace in God. Romans 15, verse 13, New American Standard says this. Romans. Get excited when we go to Romans. Verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? Believing. So that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you ever want to know what your peace is really in, if you want to know what your peace is in, what it is that you're holding on to for your peace, right? What you trust, take that thing away. Or greatly limit that thing in your life. If you freak out, then you know you've just found what your peace is in. Do you realize the turmoil that there was when Jesus came into this earth? Do you know the turmoil that began as God created man and woman, and an enemy come along and brought his smack talk? And they gave authority over to him. Do you realize that we've been at a place of needing a miracle since the beginning? But your peace in God comes from believing he's peace. Comes from knowing that the hope you have is him. It's in him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You've heard this before. Want to know what your peace is in? Take it away. God is the only stable thing that we can look to. He's it. We've been reading and talking and sharing, and you've heard it, others, about the shaking. The shaking. Everything that can crumble or fall will. Right? And I'm crying out to God for righteousness and justice. And I don't care how that falls. I want exposure, and I want the light of God to pour out into the darkness that the enemy is trying to pour onto, especially the United States. But this isn't the only place. I mean, come on. A plague that went worldwide? Come on. I don't even care who started it. And apparently it was made by a person, a man. It's not some naturally occurring thing. They've already determined that. a worldwide plague, but I will submit to you that even if men were behind her to being used to do that, it's the enemy of your soul that's come to steal your peace. God's the only stable thing you can always count on. When your peace is in something other than Him, you will inevitably freak out. When the unexpected hits, freak out. God's the only stable thing. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29 in the Passion Translation says it like this. I like it in the Passion. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. Since we are receiving our rights to an unshakable kingdom, I like that. Since we are receiving our rights to an unshakable kingdom, we should be extremely thankful and offer God the purest worship that delights His heart as we lay down our lives in absolute surrender, filled with awe. For our God is a holy, devouring fire. Chris talked about it. He's coming back, and he's fire. He's got fire in his eyes. But you don't have to be afraid of that, because the fire in his eyes is love for you. The fire in his eyes is for his peace to reign and rule. The fire in his eyes is for we win. You understand? He's holy. Bible says he's holy. Be ye holy because he's holy, right? Peace in God. Now I want to talk about peace with God. Peace with God. This is a progressional thing, okay? Romans 5, verse 1 through 5, NASB, New American Standard Bible. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained an introduction by faith into His grace, in which we stand and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, and not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You need the peace of God when you're in tribulation. You need the peace of God when you have to persevere. And just because you're in perseverance, why do you assume that God's not with you? Why do you assume that it's always the devil that's coming and trying to do this and to do that? Do you not understand? Do you not understand? God's not moved by any of this stuff. And He wants you to persevere to where you're not moved either. And that you have peace when it doesn't seem peaceful at all. I had told this story once before, but I come across it again and it ministered to me. So I'm going to read it to you again. It says, a man visited an orange grove where an irrigation pump had broken down. The season was unusually dry and trees were beginning to die for lack of water. He then took him to his own personal orchard. So you got a guy who's taking care of an orchard. He takes him to his own orchard where irrigation was used sparingly. He said, these trees could go without rain for another 2 weeks. Then he went on to say, you see, when they were young, I frequently kept water from them. This hardship caused them to send their roots deeper into the soil in search of moisture. Now, mine are the deepest rooted trees in the area. While others are being scorched by the sun, these are finding moisture at a greater depth. That's a powerful thought. Are you allowing God to drop your roots even deeper? Are you allowing these things to not crush you, but are you holding on to peace and allowing God to build you and shape you and strengthen you and grow you in your faith and in your faith so that you know that nothing can stop me? If God's for me, who can be against me? It's easy to talk. It's different to walk, right? But we're coming in a season, and have been for a long time, of let's walk. Let's walk before we talk. As a matter of fact, our walk is our talk. We have peace when we've been set right with God. Do you have peace about that? Are you right with God? Do you feel right with God? Do you sense that you are right with God and that your sins have been forgiven? Man, that ought to bring you some peace. We've been justified. It's already been done. It's not we have to do something. It's not that we have to, oh, Jesus is going to have to do it. He already did it. It's all been done. It's a done deal. It's kind of like you're watching a TV show and it has a live audience, but it's not really live. They did that in the can. They put that in the can months ago, right? I mean, Alex Trebek passed away, and he's been like the man, right, forever on this show. And they're going to sorely miss him. We're going to miss him. The guy's a brilliant guy. And yet they've got his final shows, but they're not going to show him until after the holidays. Because they don't want to hurt viewership because of all these other things preempting, you know, whatever's going on. They're trying to honor him the most by showing. But those were shot a while back. Listen, this is a done deal. Your peace and my peace is a done deal. And regardless of what anybody's saying or anything that you're hearing or anything that's being reported, does that mean, well, then I should not pray? I didn't say that. I said you should be praying. Here's what I say. You should be praying with the peace of God, knowing he's in charge. You go ahead and pray. You go ahead and declare what you think he is telling you to say, what you believe is righteousness and justice. You pray, but you need to come from a position of peace that it's finished. Then there's the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4, 2 verses 6 and 7. New American Standard. You know, one of the problems about that justification part, that the word clearly says that our sins have been forgiven. Our peace gets stolen when somehow we think our peace is earned. Because we think our salvation is earned. Isn't it funny? This time of year, not in this church. Is there any kids in here? We tell kids if they're good, Santa Claus will bring them presents. Just take Santa Claus out of it for a second. Even if you didn't tell that, you say if you're good. If you're being naughty, they're watching. There's Elfie. And I was the best at this when my kids were little, before I kind of had a conviction of my own heart. I mean, if I keep telling them things if I keep telling untruths about things, then when I tell them truth, how are they going to decide what's truth and stuff? And so, but I was the best. They came out with the movie The Santa Claus that was pretty good. It was back, that's because I'm kind of old. And we would do these things and notes and things. I know. And notes and things. And man, we were really, really, thank you, Pastor Chris. We were really, really, really good at it. But listen, I don't think we need to send the message that if you're good, God's going to bless you. That's not how it works. He blesses you first. It's already done. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's grace. I saw a meme. Someone posted a picture that said, I can't remember, so I'm not going to tell it. I'll tell it another time. Because I don't miss it. It was good. Lord, give it to me if it's good. It's not about a list of pre-described rules. It's about relationship with the Father. That's what we encounter in the peace of God. The peace of God is our relationship with him. Being in relationship with him. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We're worriers. I'm a worrier. Are you a worrier? I have to command my mind not to worry about things. Because the funny thing is, I worry about things that I have absolutely no control over. I can pray. I can intercede. I can press in. I can be an ever-present help in someone's time of need. But so often I forget that God is my ever-present help in my time of need. And instead of going to Him or really, really turning to Him, I just worry about it. Jesus tells us not to be immoral. He tells us not to lie or cheat. These aren't works. These are just, don't do these things. These things aren't good for you. They don't help you. He tells us to be humble and compassionate. And He also tells us not to worry. In fact, there's multiple passages in the New Testament that tell us not to worry. Yet we as God-fearing churchgoers, right, we've turned worrying into a spiritual pastime. Worry is the opposite of peace. We worry. We talk about our worries. We lament our worries, and then we drag others into our worries. I'm not talking about you guys. You guys online, I'm talking about you. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 25 and 26, "Do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food?" And some would say, "I don't know. Really like to eat." And you look at me and go, "I bet he says that." "Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they?" Well, of course you are. The peace of God replaces our worries and helps us to understand that many things in life are God's responsibilities and not ours. Bird's not worrying about it. We have to trust God on these things that aren't our responsibility. Aren't you glad He's responsible for gravity? And I didn't have to do anything about that? Aren't you glad He's responsible that my heart just keeps beating, whether I'm awake or asleep? And I don't have to stop and think about, "Oh, breathe. You need to take a breath. Breathe." These things just happen. They just go on. I need to have that same confidence that these things are happening and I don't have to think about it with other things that are in my life that the enemy is bringing. Let me just tell you this. I go to do a message on peace, and I can guarantee you the enemy brought everything he could my way to disrupt my peace. Because he didn't like peace. He's not a Prince of Peace fan. Are you? In John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace." What things? Everything He's spoken, so that we might have peace. There were specific things in that passage, but think about it. Come on. He said, I'm going to go away. That would make me unpeaceful when I've been hanging with Him for a time. I'm going away. Where are you going? Wherever you go, I'm going. You can't go where I'm going. Well, why not? I want to be with you. He said, "I'm going to go away. But don't worry, I'm sending another. And it's going to be better. It's going to be better for you because He's going to come and live inside of you. And you know what He's going to do? He's going to remind you of all the things I have said." He's the Spirit of peace to be inside of you. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. You mean that being a Christian and having this peace I'm talking about, it's not everything's not going to be perfect? Nope. But take courage. I have overcome the world. Man, it could not be worse in the world. Yeah, it could. And it may be. But we have peace. We have a peace that passes understanding. It's the peace of Jesus. It's His peace. I will not be moved. Worry is not going to take me down. His promise is that in the middle of trouble, you'll still have His peace. It's a gift, by the way. It's a gift of God, His peace is. Look at John 14, 27 in the New Living Translation. I know I'm giving you a lot of words and no slides, so. He says, I'm leaving you with a gift. It's Christmas time, right? It's Christmas season. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. You know who said that? The Prince of Peace. You know who's able to make that happen? The Prince of Peace. I want to go back to the beginning that I started with from Luke chapter 2:14. And I did read from the NIV, and I'm going to read the NIV version one more time. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. I think the really big question in the room and online for me is, how do you get God's favor? How can you have it? I like the peace deal. I like what you're saying. But it says right here, on earth peace to those whom His favor rests. Well, I'm going to give you a couple things that would be helpful. Number one, you got to receive God's pardon. You have to receive the fact that He paid for your sin. You have to finally accept that. Yeah, but I sinned again. Uh-huh. Yeah. You mean I ask Him into my heart. I ask Him to be my Savior, to take my sin. I repent from. I'm sorry that I've messed up. And now I've messed up again. And He'll forgive me again. Uh-huh. How often? Every time. Every time. And when you hang on to it, guess what? Your peace starts going out the door while your guilt, while your shame, while the chains, the enemy comes and just starts wrapping you up and says, yeah, we'll take care of that peace. You were made to live in harmony with God. And when you're not, it causes stress. You know what psychiatrists, psychologists will tell you about stress? That the main source of stress is guilt. Man, peace that passes understanding. My peace, my gift I give you, my peace. You get that, you keep that, you flow in that, you are rooted and grounded and steadfast in that when you stop taking the guilt back on. It's not yours. Oh, but I messed up again. Well, then say, I'm sorry. Go back to Him and bask in His grace. Let Him cleanse you once again, because He'll say, all right, I knew about that. Oh, but if I can't go back to Him. It's been too long. I've done too much. No, He paid the whole tab. He paid it all with a tip. And the tip was, I'll come live in you. Oh, he wouldn't want to live in me. He does live in you. Yeah, but you know, I've sinned and stuff, and I think God's left me. Nope. That's not true. Receive God's pardon. Stay in God's pardon, and you'll see peace that doesn't make sense. Number two, stay in God's presence. Stay in His presence. You have to stay in His presence. When you're being chased by the devil, okay, meet with God. When you know I am under assault, it's time to meet with Daddy. It's time to get with God. It's time to stop and go. It's like, well, I've got nothing else. Nothing else I can do now but pray. No. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about just stopping and saying a little prayer. I'm talking about stopping and saying, Daddy, I need you. You don't have to come up with anything else because He knows what's going on. He knows your next step. He knows the steps behind you. You got to stay in God's presence. You got to come to Him. You can't let shame, you can't let anything keep you from coming into His presence. We give an opportunity here on Sundays, but this is a daily thing, ladies and gentlemen, because He's coming at you every single day. And every single day, the Bible says His mercies are new every morning. Entrepreneur Patrick Bet-David said this, anxiety attacks can come from living in the future. Depression can come from reliving an event in the past. But peace comes from living in the present. Win today, and you will win the future. I would say peace comes from living in His presence. And guess what? He's an ever-present help in time of need. When do I need Him? Every day I need the presence of God. Next thing, respect God's principles. I just got one more after this. Respect God's principles. Listen, if we're honest, most of our stress comes from ignoring His principles. Come on. Most of our stress in our lives comes from ignoring His principles. Well, I don't know His principles. You do too. What is the thing you said, I'll do that, and you didn't? This isn't performance. I'm not talking about earning anything. I'm talking about God has given us principles. He's given us things that can be helpful to us. We have to stay in His principles. We have to respect means you actually do them or allow them to have an effect on your life. His principles. What are you talking about? Stop lying. Just stop. Stop cheating. Guy at the convenience store gave me an extra quarter in change. No, it's silly, but God just reminded me of it. He gave me an extra quarter. Number one, I never have cash. And so I got me some cash. When I went to an ATM or did something, I got me some cash. I'm going to have some cash. And that way Kelly can't see everything I'm doing. If I want to have a burger, I'm going to have a burger. No, that's not why. Dang it, I gave away my strategy. But I found out why I don't like having cash. Because I go in, I pay for it, and hand out, and they give me coins. What are these? You know what? I have coins in my car, but I never think to take them in. I don't carry coins in my pocket anymore. But he gave me an extra coin. And there was a time in my life when I'd say, and it was a quarter too. It wasn't a dime, it was a quarter, right? You know you're getting old when you're like, oh yeah, that's a quarter. There was a time in my life when I would say, well, you're going to have to learn how to count money when your till doesn't come up right. They're going to talk with you and say you got to pay a little more attention to stuff. But it's like, well, that's just stupid. I mean, I'm just almost to my car. I just turned right around, went back in and said, hey, you gave me an extra quarter. And the guy is just like, wow, thanks for being honest. I want to say to you, you want peace? Thanks for being honest. It's a principle of God to just be honest. How about this one? Here's a principle of God. Be kind. You have to respect his kind, his principles. You got to respect God and his principles. God is love. God is not hate. And aren't you glad? Because we deserve that one, right? And then lastly, you have to rely on God's provision. Times are tough. Yeah, they are. People lost their jobs. Things are going, you know, it hurts when I see another restaurant close. I see another business close. It just hurts. And, you know, and I want to say, well, you know what? We're going to get back to the way it was. I don't want to go back to the way it was. I want to go to what God's doing today. I want to go to what he's wanting to release and do. I don't want anyone to suffer. I don't want anything to fail. But you need the peace of God to persevere with what's going on. It may not be enough for your business. You need to rely on his provision. He is your source. Do you want to know something? My paycheck comes from this church. I'm full-time because of your generosity. I'm full-time. And every once in a while, someone asks me, what do you do for a living? They've asked me that before. What do you do for a living? You know, you're not there on Sunday and whatever. I said, well, I'm full-time at the church. And they're like, well, what do you do? I said, well, I eat bonbons. Right? I sit around. I mean, it's a legitimate question, right? But I want you to hear me. This church is not my source. Our offering coming in is not my source. I get a paycheck, but it's not my source. I, just like you, have to rely on the provision of God. You know what he has? He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. And that's a phrase that means I own them all. Every once in a while, I ask him, could you barbecue one of them for me, please? I don't think that's a wrong thing. But the Bible is very clear. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto you. It says, whatsoever man shall show, that shall he also reap. It says, be generous. There is a generosity of God. How does he show his generosity? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have life everlasting. Well, does God want everybody to have that gift? Yes. Does God want everyone to have the Holy Spirit living in them? Yes. You got to rely on his provision. Look at those two provisions I just gave you. Salvation, I didn't even get into healing, right? I didn't even get into the multitude of his promises that the Bible says are yes, and our response is amen, amen. See, there's two options, and I'll close with this. Panic or pray? Panic or pray? There's peace in one of those, and it's not panic. So let's pray. Father, we bring a prayer to you today. It's a prayer of hope. It's a prayer of declaration that there is peace. And it's in me. And it's in the earth. As your glory, you desire your glory to fill the earth. It's with great peace that I say, yes, Lord, come. It's with great peace that I declare that I'm above only and not beneath. It's with the peace of God shed abroad in my heart that I say with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And my knees bow to you now, not someday, but now and every day forevermore. I speak peace and I declare there is peace in me. And I declare that I am part of peace in this earth. I am a peacemaker because I have peace in me.